Are they only ones that can come in without advance notice?
Graham asks. Yes?
If you see this guy in here again, call security.
Lincoln and I laugh as Graham just shakes his head.
It's nice to see you again,
Lincoln offers.
You know, I just moved back to town. My girl Danny doesn't really have any friends here. I think the two of you might hit it off.
I look at my boss. His body language, crossed arms, pressed lips, tell me everything I need to know. His eyes are trained on me, his gaze burning into mine. His eyes darken as my heartbeat picks up and I imagine him doing just what I want him to do. Lift me up, pull up my dress, and discover that today, I'm wearing no panties. He cocks his head slightly to the side, as if he's issuing me some warning not to go there. Little does he know, I've gone there. Multiple times. All the way a few times as I got ready for bed last night, and once before I got here today. What's a girl to do when he looks like that?
Aw, who cares what Graham has to say? He's all bark, no bite.
Lincoln promises, bringing me out of my daze.
Well, except that time in St. Petersburg.
He glances at Graham.
That's probably not a story to tell in front of your new employee, huh? Why are you here this morning?
Graham asks, pulling his gaze to Lincoln.
If I remember correctly, the sign out front, you know, the large one in big black letters, says Landry on it.
Graham grumbles.
Look.
He sighs.
Barrett told me he told you the news last night. I know you're pissed, but can we talk about this in my office?
Graham asks, exasperated.
I thought this was your office.
Lincoln retorts, the smile on his face making it obvious he's just doing it to rile his brother up. You two are hysterical, I say, not able to wipe the grin off my face. Lincoln walks in front of my desk and leans against the corner.
You were right, G. I should have remembered her.
Ah, you didn't? I say, my mouth dropping in faux shock. How could you forget me? Don't you remember the time you were chasing your sisters and I with a worm at the farm and I fell and had to get stitches in my chin?
That was you? Wow, Mallory.
He whistles between his teeth.
I remember you as a little girl with braces. You're beautiful.
Thank you, I offer, blushing at his compliment.
Didn't I hear you got engaged yesterday?
Graham interrupts, his arm crossed over his chest. His watch sparkles in the light as he almost glares at Lincoln.
And are getting married in a few weeks?
Congratulations, I say, watching Lincoln's ass as he lifts off my desk. He turns to me and gives me a dazzling smile.
Thank you. I'm pretty jacked about it, to be honest. I gotta go get tuxes and all that shit, and I don't even hate it.
Because it means you get her, I volunteer.
Yeah.
He looks at the floor, his cheeks a touch flushed.
She really fucked up everything in my life.
He beams.
I'm going to be a daddy. I mean, I'm going to be responsible for another human. And while I'm not sure that's a good idea, it's happening, and I'm looking forward to it. It's crazy how fast shit changes.
His entire face is lit up by his admission, and I wonder who the lucky girl is. Not just because she's wrapped up this handsome guy, but because he's obviously head over heels for her. My heart tugs in admiration and jealousy, because I've never had someone look at me like that. Ever. Maybe I pretended Eric did, but seeing it like this makes it apparent I haven't.
Let's finish this in my office,
Graham says, disappearing inside the doors.
Nice to see you again, Mal.
Lincoln gives me a peace sign and joins his brother, closing the door behind him. I look around the room. I'm not sure if it was this boring from the get-go, or if I was so busy yesterday that I didn't notice, or if Las Vegas would seem dull after the Landrys left. I imagine the latter's the case. They bring such an air of excitement to a room. When they walk in, everything seems to come to life. I can't explain it, but damn it if I can't feel it. I wonder what they're discussing on the other side of the door. If Graham is more like Lincoln when he isn't in the role of CEO. I've imagined what Graham's laugh sounds like and what kinds of music he listens to. He's so hard to predict. I wouldn't even know where to start. I doubt I'll ever know that much about him. It wasn't on a stupid bullet point list, but I can read between the lines. His daily email, the list he promised he'd have for me to do each morning, is glowing in my inbox. Instead of attacking it first, I dig inside my bag. After a few seconds, a framed picture of me and Joy is on the corner of my desk, a shot from us hiking at Sandpiper Trail that always makes me smile. A white freesia-scented candle sits next to my computer. "There," I say out loud, clicking on Graham's email. "Now I can get to work." I'm poring over a set of files Graham left for me while I was gone for lunch, lost to the numbers and notes when I hear him clear his throat. Jumping at the sound, I see him standing in the doorway watching me. "You scared me," I gasp. He's been running his hands through his hair, his tie slightly askew, and I know better than to look him in the eye. If there's one thing about my new employer I already know, and there might just be the one thing, it's that he can read my mind. I'm sure of it.
"How's that coming along?"
he asks. "Good. I'm almost finished. I did find a few errors, though, in the coding, which I know wasn't what I was supposed to be doing," I say quickly. "But I couldn't help but note them. That's what the green flags are on the side." His lips twist in amusement.
"That's interesting. I did that last night."
He seems to get lost in his thoughts for a second.
"How many did you find?"
3. Wanna see?" He comes up behind me as I open the folder. My fingers stumble as I flip through the papers in search of the green flags. His cologne, subtle from the wear of the day, floats around me, teasing me. I gulp and try not to flinch as he reaches over my shoulder, his suit jacket brushing against me as he points to the first flag.
"I was off by 0.002.
His breath is hot against my ear, sending an array of goosebumps across my flesh. "Yes," I say, as evenly as I can as I flip to the next flag. "On this one, it was 0.003. Not much, but still incorrect."
"I'm impressed."
He doesn't move, doesn't change position, just rests his palm flat against my desktop. Hovering over me, he completely dominates the space. There's nothing I can say, nothing I can think, that's not in his control. He knows this. His breathing is completely even, his tone completely cool.
"How long did this take you?"
"An hour or so."
"Can I ask you something, Mallory?"
"You're the boss."
"Do you like working here?"
"So far, yes, I do."
"Do you think you'll like working here in the future?"
I'm not sure what he's getting at. It seems to be a loaded question, or a question that he's using to lead me to another one, but I can't think straight with him leaning over me like this. All I can think about is if I move, I'll brush his arm. If I tilt my head back, my face will be inches from his. If I turn around, I'd be in his personal space.
"Is that a no?"
he asks, his voice husky. Oh, no, I stammer. I mean, it's not a no. I think I'll like working here for a long time. I hope so, anyway. After a pause, he pushes off and stands. I'm afraid to look back. My eyes stay trained on a small indentation above the door ahead of me like it's the most interesting thing in the world. He sighs, but I don't think I'm supposed to hear it.
"Good job with the file."
He comes around the front of my desk, his glasses in his hand.
"I'm happy to have you on board. I don't think I've said that."
"You haven't," I say, testing his reaction with a grin. His lip quivers, but he doesn't quite return it. "But it's nice to hear."
"How about this?"
he says with a flurry.
"With the circumstances what they were, we didn't have time for an actual interview. What if we have an informal interview tomorrow? A working lunch, maybe?"
I grin nervously. "That might be a good idea."
"Why is that?"
"I'll admit, I never worked somewhere before where I felt so, His gaze deepens, a shadow crossing his face.
"So what, Mallory?"
I look away and plead with my cheeks not to heat. There are so many ways I feel about this position, about working for Graham Landry, and none of them I want to say out loud. He won't let me go without answering. There's no use in trying. "I don't know how to take you, exactly. I accepted the job because, quite frankly, I needed one pretty desperately, and I know your family. But the Graham I remember and the one standing in front of me?" The movement he makes towards me is nothing more than a flinch, a probably unconscious motion as my words trail off. Still, my breath catches at my throat and the heat in my cheeks rises a few notches.
You aren't the Mallory I remember either.
He whips in a deep inhale and blows it out slowly.
I don't want this to be awkward.
It shouldn't be. There's no reason for it to be. I lie, omitting the fact that it's so difficult because I can't stop imagining him naked. Maybe we just didn't have that get-to-know-you phase. You know, as the people we are now.
Maybe.
He slips his glasses back on his face, his features softening.
Block off an hour and a half for my lunch tomorrow. Get with Gina in the morning and let her know your substitute for lunch will need to stay longer than usual.
Yes, sir. He almost smiles. Almost. Chapter 6. Mallory. I see my replacement standing on the other side of the glass wall, talking to another employee. Her name is Raza, and she's super sweet, but today, I'm not looking forward to seeing her. I should have worn the black dress, I chastise myself, looking down at what I did choose. The eggshell blue shift took entirely too long to pick out and almost made me late. I accessorized it with a couple of gold bangles and nude heels and took extra care to curl my long locks into beachy curls. It's cute and fine for a day at work, because, as I keep reminding myself, this is not a date. It's a lunch interview, a part of my workday, a routine thing that happens between two people that work together. Only most people don't work with a man that looks like a Greek god that sounds like a southern gentleman. He's avoided me all morning, or maybe this is just a normal day at work. I don't know. I haven't been here long enough to establish a true normal routine. I suspect, however, there's nothing normal about Graham Landry. He's been polite, yet firm, when I've called back to transfer calls or alert him of a visitor. All of his communication with me has come via email. I haven't seen him since I arrived, and that has me more on edge. Raza bounces through the door, her usual cheery self. How are you, Mallory? Good. I stand shakily and put my purse in the locking drawer at the bottom of my desk. I'm not sure how long I'll be, an hour and a half maybe. Did Gina tell you? She did. Did you have some sort of appointment? Yeah. I twist my lips. I have a working lunch with Mr. Landry. Roz's eyes lit up like a schoolgirl's. I am jealous, she whispers conspiratorially. But I'm not sure I could be in a closed room with him for that long without a restraining order at the end. My attempt at a smile is broken, and a little wobbly because I'm not sure how this is going to work either. With a slight wave, I grab a notebook and pen and take the handful of steps to the large, heavy wooden doors and knock.
Come in.
His response is immediate and bold, not at all like the tepid Graham I've dealt with all day. The door swings open too easily, denying me that last sweet second to get my wits about me. Before I'm ready, he's in sight. His desk is wide and heavy-looking, made of dark wood with antiqued accents. In most offices, this piece of furniture would be the focal point. In this one, it's the man behind it. There's nothing that could possibly outshine him. He's wearing a black suit and tie and is leaning in an oversized black leather chair. Light pours in his office from the glass walls that probably allow you a fantastic view of Savannah, if you were so inclined, meaning if you weren't a female and Graham wasn't present, because when he's here, nothing else matters.
Close the door behind you,
he instructs. Once the clasp latches, I turn to face him again. This time, I don't let our eyes meet. I just need a second to compose myself. Just a work appointment, Mal. Just like with Mr. Benmeyer. Glancing up at Graham just in time to witness him unfold himself out of his chair, I find myself laughing out loud. Mr. Benmeyer didn't look like he was packing double digits.
Something funny?
Graham asks, smoothing down his tie. No. Not at all. He cast me a puzzled look.
Would you like to order lunch in?
I went ahead and ordered lunch for you at Hillary's house. It was in the notes, that you order from there every day when you don't have an appointment. And since this isn't really an appointment...
What about you?
I ordered for myself and prepaid it on my credit card, I tell him. omitting that I was a little shell-shocked at the prices and opted to order the cheapest thing on the menu. I had them charge yours to your account like normal. Everything should be delivered shortly. I know they're late, but you'll have to take that up with them.
And with whom should I take up the fact that you paid for your lunch today?
What?
Mallory.
He sighs.
When I ask you to have lunch with me, please don't disrespect me by buying your own.
Biting my lip, I nod as quickly as I can. That's not what I meant by it. He just nods, his annoyance down a few notches but not gone altogether.
Go ahead and take a seat.
We get situated across from one another. I study his face while he moves things around his desk. If I look closely enough, I can see the Graham I remember. The dimple in his left cheek is barely noticeable, but I'd venture to guess it's still heavenly when he smiles a real smile, something I don't think I've seen from him. As he types furiously on his keyboard, I wonder what makes Graham Landry happy. What makes him loosen that tie around his neck? What it would take to lose this facade that has to be some sort of veneer, because how can someone as beautiful, successful, and wealthy seem so, joyless? As I start to consider what he might do after work, he folds his hands together on top of his desk and looks at me.
I just sent you an email about a new venture Landry Holdings is taking on. It's called Landry Security, and my brother Ford will be at the helm. He'll be in soon for a strategy session that I'll ask you to sit in on. We want to get this up and running as soon as possible. And since I've been short-handed in here for much longer than I care to admit, I'm behind. Also something I hate to admit.
Things happen, I shrug. You have to be able to roll with the punches.
I don't roll with the punches.
He chuckles.
I like all my ducks in a row. On a chain, if possible.
How's that working out for you? He falls back in his chair, seemingly surprised by my question. I do what he does to me. I wait him out. Just when I think he's going to wait all day, if it takes that for me to speak next, he shocks me and answers.
It works for me. I know my style isn't for everyone, Mallory. I like to have a plan for the backup plan. It's how I keep all the balls I juggle daily in the air.
What if one falls?
They don't,
he replies, a brusqueness to his tone that ripples across the desk and chills me.
Failure is not an option, especially when it comes to anything for my family. And this business is a family business.
The passion he feels for his family and work is palpable, something I've never seen in anyone firsthand. It's another dimension to this man that I suspect has a lot of layers. They're lucky to have you running things for them.
That works both ways.
Before I can press him on this, he changes the subject.
So what should I know about you?
I inhale a deep breath. I think my resume pretty much said it all. I just moved back to town. Nursing school wasn't for me.
Do you mind if I ask why?
Have you ever had to inject something into someone? His face blanches.
No.
Yeah, not my thing. I also felt like I was going to get everything everyone had that came in. I just couldn't imagine living every day with a box of bleach wipes in my purse, you know?
I'm 100% sure I couldn't work in the medical field. It's too unpredictable.
I wince. Yeah. I can't imagine you in a room full of people going every which way, coughing all over each other, liquid squirting everywhere.
That's a disgusting image you present there, Miss Sims.
He chuckles. He rests one ankle on the opposite knee and strokes his chin, watching me intently.
I'll admit, I was surprised you were interested in the medical field to begin with. You always seemed so...
So what? He shrugs, weighing his words.
You were so studious before, so serious, focused. Your Latin was impeccable. I remember you telling me you wanted to be an attorney, and I couldn't imagine you in front of a jury. Then we had a disagreement over our paper, and I could exactly see you in front of a judge, winning your case.
He admits.
Law is a far cry from nursing. What made you change your mind?
My spirits tumble as memories I haven't thought about in a long time roll through my memory. When life was simple and hope seemed free. Before my senior year came and I was put in my place by my parents and made the best decision I could under the circumstances. I actually moved to Columbia with Eric Johnson.
Do I know him?
Probably not, I say, not wanting him to remember Eric, even if he did know him. Graham leans forward and narrows his eyes.
What does moving to Columbia have to do with you not going to law school?
It just didn't work out. I was 19 when we moved. We had to get adjusted there, and I needed to work to save money to go. Part of that went to helping Eric get his degree, and then when it was my turn, I chose nursing. It seemed like a fast degree that would pay well.
Do you plan on going back now?
My shoulders rise and fall. I'll be honest, I'm not sure what I plan on doing. So many things have changed for me, and I'm not really sure where I sit these days. I've worked as an administrative assistant for years now. Even when I was going to nursing school, I worked at Ben Meyer Company. It's all I really know and can do well. I look away because I feel like he's trying to read me again. I'm afraid that this time, he'll realize what a mess I am. That's not something Graham will appreciate in all his organizational bliss.
Eric Johnson.
He says finally,
Is he still in the picture?
No. I told him I wanted to drop out of nursing school, we had a fight, and I ended up leaving him. Something passes through his eyes.
Well, I'm sure you don't want to talk about that. I apologize for pressing you.
It's fine, I concede, finding my footing. You didn't press me. It's still so raw for me to discuss, especially with you, I think. So, what happened in your life?
I went to the University of Georgia and got a master's in business. Pretty predictable, right?
I grin. Yes, but there has to be something more. No one gets through high school and college with no crazy tales. A knock comes to the door, and Graham sags back in his chair. He holds up a finger to tell me to wait a second. I sit quietly and listen to him converse with Raza, her giggle drifting through the room. I can't help but roll my eyes,
Let's eat over here.
he says, over the rustle of the plastic bag. I stand and follow him to a circular table near a window. As he places the container at our seats, I take a moment to admire his office. It's a large corner office with bright white paint, dark wood, and a love seat against the back wall. A glass table is in front of it with what appears to be a handful of magazines of some sort, in a small figurine that I can't make out. A tree stands in the corner in a beautiful terracotta pot. Everything is clean, organized, smart, and slightly uptight, just like Graham.
Ready?
He asks. When I look at him, he raises a brow.
Like what you see?
It's gorgeous.
I'm glad you approve.
His lips twist, and I know he knows I wasn't just referring to the abstract painting on the far wall.
I had your credit card reimbursed for our lunch.
My objection is silenced by the look from Graham. Thank you, I gulp.
That pained you, didn't it?
What? I say, opening the container in front of me.
To just say thank you.
Kind of, I laugh. I'm just not used to someone doing something for me without expecting something in return. I've learned it's easier to just do everything yourself. He cuts his sandwich in two pieces and lays half of his alongside my side salad. My mouth opens to object, but closes as his quirked brow silences me.
First of all,
He says,
you're right. It is easier to do things yourself. I understand that. It's hard for me to trust anyone.
"Is that why you went through so many assistants before me?" He raises a brow. "Sienna told me," I say. "She also might have said you're a little difficult to get along with, but if I gave you time, I'd like you."
Did she?
"She did," I shrug. "Lincoln, too, now that I think of it," I admit. "I'm hoping they're right."
So you don't like me now?
The way he says it, a slight tease to his tone is enough to send my hormones into a frenzy. "I didn't say that," I blush. He considers this as he takes a bite of his Reuben. I twirl my fork around in my salad, trying to focus on the colors of the tomato and lettuce, and not on the way his eyes are beginning to turn a slight shade of blue.
I'm not sure I like you either.
He says, not looking at me.
But I'm not sure I want to.
"And why not?"
Because
He dabs a linen napkin onto his lips.
I think that would give you an unfair advantage over me.
My cheeks flush the color of the tomato on my plate. I'm not sure what that means, but his gaze tells me it's a compliment. "I'll be late," I assure him. "That'll help." He laughs, the realest laugh I've heard from him. It's wonderful.
That would definitely help. I can't handle being late.
"Or disorganization," I add.
Or being unprepared.
He grins.
I guess I have a lot of issues, don't I?
"That's what it sounds like," I tease. "I just hate it when people don't wave at me when I let them pull out in front of me. It's so rude. I did you a favor, and now you're going to be snotty? It's really hard for me not to ram them with my car.
So you have anger management issues then?
He teases.
That's really, really good to know.
No, I have a hard time managing assholish behavior.
Remind me to keep you away from Barrett.
He winks. So you have no assholish behavior? I ask, popping a chunk of lettuce into my mouth. None at all.
No, I don't think so.
Interesting. I take a sip of my water. Okay, then. Name me three words that describe you. He takes a bite of his sandwich. The wheels turn as his head cocks to the side.
Careful. Purposeful. Confident.
Those are boring. I sigh dramatically.
Maybe I'm boring.
He winks.
What about you? Three words.
Dependable, I say, tilting my head to look at him out of the corner of my eye.
Nice one,
he says, rolling his eyes. Searching?
For what?
I pop a tomato into my mouth. A missing piece.
To what? A puzzle? A mystery?
Me. I've never felt like me. Is that odd?
Absolutely.
He grins. I look back on my life so far and wish I would have done something I wanted to do. There was always someone telling me I couldn't or shouldn't, and I believe them. It's my fault, I sigh. But what if I'd tried? What if I'd tried business or law or had taken a cooking class? Who knows where I'd be now? He leans back in his chair.
I have the opposite problem. I'm afraid to stop moving because I might stall. The one time I tried it, I...
He clears his throat.
You have one more.
I want to dig deeper on that, to see what he means, but I know it's futile. He's not going to talk any more about it. One more. Okay. I'm going with adventurous. He chokes on his food, excusing himself and disappearing through a door next to the sofa that I hadn't seen. When he returns a few minutes later, his eyes have a twinkle in them. Are you all right? I ask, trying not to smile at the look on his face. He shakes his head, this time refusing to look at me.
I'm fine.
He returns to his seat and takes a long drink of water. After the cap is slowly screwed back on, his eyes find mine.
I'll admit something to you.
Shoot.
You confused the hell out of me.
A giggle topples from my lips. Really? In what way? His eyes narrow as he chooses his words.
In every way. On one hand, you're incredibly efficient, finding my mistakes yesterday in the file. You thought ahead to order lunch today. You really impressed Gina, and Lincoln loved you. But don't take that to mean anything. You're a beautiful woman. That's kind of a shoo-in with my little brother.
Gee, thanks, I say, trying to deflect from the fact that I'm just replaying beautiful woman over and over again. He laughs again. The sound melody better than I expected. It's warm and soothing, but has a gruffness to it that reminds me of a 5 o'clock shadow. Just scratchy enough to lend a little rogue that ups the sex appeal by 100-fold.
It was a compliment,
he says, leaning forward.
On the other hand, I have no idea how you maintain your efficiency. You struggle to get here on time every day. Your desk is a mess. I have no idea how you keep track of anything.
Steel trap, I say, patting my temple. And I take slight offense to you calling me a mess.
I didn't.
No, you did, I laugh.
I said your desk is a mess.
My desk is a creative climate, I suggest. It's been proven that the smartest people in the world work in an atmosphere other people would call disorderly.
Or a mess.
He winks. I refuse to accept that term. I shrug playfully.
Can you accept to straighten it up? It's driving me crazy. I want to stop there every night on my way home and just reorganize it for you.
Don't you dare! I giggle. He reclines back, the sun illuminating his face. The lines around his eyes are smooth, his jaw slack and unclenched for maybe the first time since I started. He almost seems like a different person altogether.
It is my office,
he suggests.
I would venture to say there's not a lot you could do about it.
What if I got up and went to your desk and moved things around? How would you feel? His eyes hood, his bottom lip working back and forth in between his teeth. I sit across from him, my hands in my lap, held hostage by his gaze. His lip pops free, and I exhale sharply.
I'd feel a lot of ways,
he whispers.
None of which I really want to feel.
Why not? I ask softly. We both know we aren't just talking about a move stapler or a mishmash of files. As that really sets in, the air around us gets heavier, hotter, hazardous.
Those things always lead to dangerous situations,
he says, his eyes trained on me. I shift in my seat, the throb between my legs growing stronger by the second. People do it every day and survive.
They may survive, but don't things get messy?
Only if they do it right. His chair flies backwards, and he's to his feet and next to me before I know what's happening. He doesn't ask that I stand, but he doesn't have to. It's implied, and my body reacts accordingly to his silent command. We stand face to face, our breathing ragged. Our chests heave with the anticipation, the possibility of what might come next.
You are quite possibly the most dangerous of them all,
he says, his voice rough. Why is that? I breathe.
There is no plan for you.
But you've already penciled me in, haven't you, Graham? I ask, finding the courage to play this little game with him. Being strictly professional is incredibly hard, and this is way too easy. I can flirt with the best of them in a bar or on a college campus, but here, with him, it's a game all its own, a level I had no idea I'd be a contender in. Maybe I'm not, but I'm going to play the hell out of it while I'm here, even though if I keep it up, I might not be here for long.
What do you want, Mallory?
I want to do all the things you ask of me and do them better than you ever expected they could be done. A rumble emits from his throat as his eyes darken. My knees go weak and I grab the table with my left hand to ensure I don't fall. He licks his lips and flips his gaze to my mouth. I think I whimper as I lift my chin, waiting to see what he does next. My entire body is on fire for this man, my heart thumping so hard I'm sure he can hear it. He moves so my back is pressed against the table, our food long forgotten. His hands are on either side of me, caging me in. Our eyes lock together. He leans in, a slow smirk spreading across his gorgeous face. "Excuse me, Mr. Landry, Ford is here to see you," Raza chirps through the line. We exhale simultaneously, a giggle escaping with mine. There's nothing funny about this, but the energy has to come out in some way. "Mr. Landry?" she asks again.
"I'll be right out. Thank you, Raza."
"Oh, you're so welcome, sir." The line clicks off and Graham marches across the room and punches a button. The light on top indicates he's not to be disturbed. I busy myself with cleaning up our lunch, and before he's at my side again, I have everything bundled up. "Ah, thanks for lunch," I say like nothing just happened.
"Mallory."
He runs his hand through his hair, leaving one lock sticking up. Knowing what that will look like if we walk out together, I reach up, hesitating for a split second before smoothing it out. His hair is silky against my fingers. He jumps when I touch him at first, but doesn't back away.
"What are you doing?"
"Nothing went on in here, and I refuse for it to look like something did. That's the way rumors get spread, Mr. Landry."
"Mallory, I
get the final look at his face, reach up and straighten his tie as his eyes go wide, then turn towards the door. "I'll send Ford in."
"Mallory."
"Yeah?" I turn to the side. He's standing by the table, his hands in his pockets, looking frazzled. When he doesn't respond, I place my hands on the knob. "I'll have that file back to you before I leave today. Thanks again for lunch." I walk out before I can change my mind.
Chapter 7. Graham. "Don't look at me like that," Ford says, counting out a final 10 push-ups and then hopping to his feet no worse for the wear. "Your ass could be down here doing these with me." "Absolutely I could." I take a sip of tea from my seat on the porch swing, but I'm not. The air is crisp, a wind blowing across the lawn of the farm. Our family's getaway is an escape from the hustle and bustle of life, where we all come to congregate and get fresh air and have big-scale family dinners. We all have a space here, a bedroom that we use when we need a spot to land. Granted, I don't ever use mine, but the others do. Ford is staying here until he finds a place of his own. "I'm thinking about hiring Barrett's trainer, Achilles," Ford says, stretching his arms overhead. I'm having a hard time getting a hard enough workout in on my own. Paying someone to kick your ass? I've never understood that, I joke. Seems like you could just run another mile or lift another set and do it without shelling out money. It takes effort to look like this, my brother says, flexing his biceps. Do you forget you basically look like me, just less good-looking? You wish, Ford laughs. You should see how your assistant looks at me. I glare at him, and he only laughs harder. How are things going with Mallory? I let my mind go to the one moment that I keep replaying. Her looking up, her eyes filled with every ounce of lust I was feeling, along with a dose of uncertainty. The way her lips parted in anticipation, how her chest rose and fell as she tried to stay calm. The smell of lavender is as fresh as it was as I breathed her in for the very first time. Ah, that good, huh? Ford chuckles. She's smart, doing a good job. I rise from the swing and lean against the rail. Nice vanilla answer. I love your evasiveness. You're turning into Barrett. I roll my eyes. I chatted with her a bit before I left your office today. He informs me. I like her. My head snaps to his. What do you mean? My brother's laugh comes immediately. Just like I thought. Just like you thought what? It's only natural. She's a nice girl. She seems smart. She's gorgeous as hell. I take a quick sip of tea to keep him from looking at me too closely. I'm not following along. Only because you're still chasing her tail, which is exactly my point. Whoa, I say, standing up straight. I think you're a little bit ahead of yourself, bud. He climbs the stairs to the porch and leans against the rail on the other side, grinning at me. I haven't been around much these last few years. I only know what our siblings tell me, mostly meaning Camilla, plus what Mom and Dad volunteer. But none of them have ever mentioned you with a woman. Not seriously. This is not news. But why, Graham? It's like everyone in the family is moving on, starting their own thing. Lincoln's having a kid. Barrett will eventually grow a pair and do the same. I'm not averse to the idea myself. But you? Don't you want a family of your own someday? Well, sure. I leave him standing on the porch as I head into the house. I don't close the door behind me because I know he'll follow. Sure enough, when I get into the kitchen and turn around, he's standing in the doorway. I'm not pressing you, Ford says. To be honest, I couldn't give a shit about what you do with your life, as long as you keep working because that benefits my bottom line. Fuck off, I chuckle. But I do think you work too much. I think you take shit too seriously, man. I think one day you'll look back on your life and wish you'd lived a little more. With a simple shrug, he turns and starts down the hallway. I'm jumping in the shower. If you leave before I get out, lock the door. His footsteps fall against the steps, his weight causing the floor joists above me to creak as he makes his way to the bathroom at the end of the hallway upstairs. I hate when he does this. He says something semi-insightful and then leaves you to think about it. I don't want to think about it. The kitchen is quiet, the only sound coming from the birds outside. This is why everyone loves it here. It's almost its own world. I venture out onto the back porch, Ford's words echoing in my head. He's wrong. I am happy. I live my life exactly how I want to. I designed it this way. I had to. A myriad of images races through my mind. I can see her tears rolling down her tanned cheeks, feel my stomach twist in what I'm sure is some kind of death knell. I see my father's disapproving face and my mother's look of sympathy, and I know I can never do that again. The last time I went off plan, I nearly lost everything. Anxiety sets in, my head filling with what-ifs, questions I'll never have answers to. Maybe answers I don't even want, because it won't make any difference. Things are what they are. There is no changing that. I go through my well-practiced routine of reminding myself I'll never lose control like that again, in order to gain some relief. My phone buzzes and I pull it out, happy for the distraction. I see a familiar number, a woman I meet sometimes for a bite to eat and then a quick fuck. It's routine between us. Neither of us wanting more than a release. I return her message with a quick text that I'm busy tonight, even though I'm not. I'm just not feeling it. Even as I type that out, I know it's a lie. I am feeling it, just not with her. As my brain begins to parade images of Mallory Sims through my memory, my lips part into a smile. "What is it about you, Mallory?" I ask out loud, my voice carrying off in the wind. Unfortunately for me, the wind doesn't answer. As my brothers have attested, there's no denying her beauty. She is fucking beautiful with her sexy lips, bright eyes, curvy body. Her brains make her a step ahead of the other women I see occasionally. Because brains and beauty in one package? That's heaven. A combination that just does it for me. But I've seen it before. Once, to be sure. Or so I thought. And that's precisely why I'm not about to do it again. As hard as it is, figuratively and literally, to work with her every day, I have to make it happen. She's the best thing to happen to my office since Linda. The fact that she opens up parts of me that haven't been touched since Vanessa is the scary part. I let the sun shine down on my face, warming me. As my eyes shut, it's Mallory's giggle I hear and the heat of her breath I imagine on my skin. Instead of going back in the house like I should, stopping this stupid little fantasy before it gets out of hand, or worse, routine, I stand on the porch and relish the feeling for a few more minutes. The fact that I'm not just imagining her beneath me, losing myself inside her, but thinking about her smile and the way she tells a story, that is a problem. It's the scariest part of all.
Mallory, my bright red toenails wiggle in front of me. This close, Joy. This close. I bring my hands to my feet and stretch on the purple yoga mat under me. You were this close to half of the dreams I've had in my life, she laughs from her downward-facing dog. I used to practice writing Joy Landry in my notebooks. I wasn't even sure which one I wanted. Come to think of it, I don't even think I really cared. I struggle to keep the smile off my face, but when I look at Joy and our eyes meet, we both start giggling. Graham, Joy? Oh my God! What are you going to do about it? She asks. You work for him. It's not like you met him at some charity ball or something. I've been thinking about that, I say, touching my toes. I'm just going to go with the flow, see what happens. I mean, let's be real. Nothing is really going to happen. It's Graham Landry and me. Shut up. Don't talk about yourself like that. I roll my eyes. You know what I mean. He can have whomever he wants. Even if I get lucky and somehow get lucky, I grin. That's all it'll be. Will you be okay with that? She asks skeptically. I hope, I say, grimacing as the muscles in my legs start to burn. I'm more than okay with it. Standing, I look at her. I'm taking risks, remember? I've never been able to just flirt and be spontaneous and have fun. If Graham plays back with me, then he does. I'm more than happy to be on the receiving end of that. If he stops or gets weird about it, I'll stop. It's pretty simple. She smiles and goes back to her stretching. I go back to my endless thoughts. I'm not sure it is as simple as I just made it out to be. I explained it like it's a purely physical attraction, and it is, for the most part. But I can't deny I enjoyed talking to him yesterday. Our banter was fun, easy, and having him interested in what I had to say, even if he was humoring me, was the most fun I've had with a man in a long time. Maybe ever. That's sad, but also true. The bells chime on the door of the yoga studio where I work part-time in the evenings. It's closed, the last class wrapping just a few minutes ago. Sienna introduced me to yoga in high school, when it was the trendy thing to do. She does it off and on, but I was hooked immediately and haven't stopped. I love the way it centers me. Without it, my body and my mind would be even more chaotic than they are now. Hey, girls, Camilla says, dropping her pink bag to the floor and removing her shoes. Hi, Sienna says, patting across the mat. They roll out their mats and take seats next to Joy and I, forming a haphazard circle. What are you two talking about? You look all chatty until we walked in. Joy looked at me out of the corner of her eye with a smirk. Do you two really want to know? Maybe not, Camilla says, her brows pulling together. She looks at me with a puzzled look. Do I, Mel?
I do, Sienna retorts. Spill it.
I want to do dirty, dirty things to Graham, I grin. Camilla flops back on her mat, her hands covering her face.
I think I just puked a little in my mouth, Sienna says, looking at me. Did you really just say that?
That's just the tip of the iceberg, I wink.
It's your fault. You're the one that got me the job working in such a confined area with him. What did you think would happen, Sienna? Have you even looked at him lately?
Yeah, she says, wincing. All the time. Ugh, I can't believe we're even having this conversation. Joy sighs as she stands.
You're lucky you didn't hear her story from today.
Sienna's face twists in disgust as I stand, laughing. We all stretch quietly, each of us mulling over our own thoughts. Joy's obviously mirroring mine because every time I make eye contact with her, I have to look away so I don't start giggling again.
Are you ready to date again? Sienna asks.
I don't know. If I found the right guy, I'm sure I would, I admit. But I don't even know what I'm looking for at this point. It's been so long since I thought about it.
Have you talked to Eric? Camilla asks,
the sweeter of the two sisters. Her voice is soft and comforting. She reminds me of their mother, prim and proper and nurturing. Sienna, on the other hand, is more lively. She's the one you could call at midnight and ask to sneak out and go for a drive. Camilla would have died before breaking the rules. I hold my warrior pose as long as I can, weighing my words before answering her.
I haven't talked to him. I doubt I'll ever hear from him again, to be honest.
I release the pose and breathe. I'm okay with that. It's the way I want it, actually. If he called, it would just set me back. I need to be focused on what I want and what I'm able to get.
You can get anything you want, Camilla says. You can go to school, teach yoga, change jobs, or
move to LA with me, Sienna chimes in. Cam is right. You can do whatever you want.
You make it sound so easy. If you're thinking about dating, I know a guy, Camilla offers, ignoring her sister's glare, that I think you might like.
I'm sure you do, Sienna says.
Don't start, Camilla fires back. I don't say a word about your little friend with benefits thing with what's-his-name, and I know him. I don't know why you feel the need to put down a guy you don't even know.
Because I don't know him!
Sienna jumps to her feet, the purple ends of her hair swishing behind her.
You won't let me meet him. You made me promise not to even bring him up to Link or Graham or Barrett. That says something, Cam.
It says I don't want them to run him off before I decide if I like him or not. I need some room this time, Camilla says, taking a step towards her twin. Once you all come into play, you either plant thoughts in my head or you scare him off.
Only when we need to, Sienna says.
I don't do that to you.
Because I don't need it, Sienna says, holding her ground. You're the fragile one, Cam. You're the one we all have to watch out for.
Hey, I say, a little louder than necessary.
Settle down, you guys.
Their faces fall, Camilla's eyes finding the mat, and Sienna, the fiery of the two, shaking her head. I'm sorry, Sienna. Just give me some space, okay? Sienna holds her hand out, and Camilla squeezes it. Their bond makes me smile.
Anyway, you were saying something about a guy you know?
I ask gently. I don't really care, but I don't want this silence to last for too long. He's nice, Camilla says. He just moved back to town, too. Well, I guess he's always lived here, but he was gone for a while. Keenan Marks? Do you remember him? I shake my head.
Maybe vaguely. Short black hair?
Yep. I think you should let him take you out. He remembers you. She smiles softly. I think y'all met before you went to Columbia.
My first inclination is to say no, but when I look at Cam's hopeful face and Joy's raised brow, asking me without asking me what I'm going to do about Graham, I realize that I might be able to kill a couple of birds with one stone.
Give him my number, I say, getting back into warrior position. We'll see how it goes.
Chapter 8. The green flags come off the file easily. Wadding them up, I throw them in the trash. Well done, Miss Sims, I say out loud. The first error was intentional. I was just curious how well she paid attention to detail. Apparently, she's careful, because the second two she found weren't on purpose, and that's a problem in and of itself.
Graham?
Mallory's voice rings through the intercom. It's sweet, professional as always. Anyone overhearing it wouldn't think twice, but I do. I hear the little tease, the slight taunt that lies just beneath the surface. Besides her keeping me in a state of constant distraction, I hate to admit Lincoln was right. It's nice having her around. Yes, I respond. She smacks her lips together, the sound going straight to my cock. This is what I've been waiting on all day, the moment when she brings up what almost happened yesterday. Despite thinking about it all night and all morning, replaying the things I wish would have happened, I'm still not sure how I'm going to deal with it. I want her. Of course I fucking do. I've admitted that to myself. Intelligence, round ass, sharp tongue, what's left to be desired? But that's just the thing. It's all desire. It simply won't work. Besides, desire uncontained can really fucking burn. The women I fuck aren't involved in my life in any way. They're acquaintances, women that know our time together is just that, a few hours here and there. It offers me freedom to work without the trappings of a relationship. It gives me autonomy to do what needs to be done. It's clean, organized, practical. Mallory Sims is none of those things. So what happens if that box is opened? I already know she doesn't fit inside a mold. I can't just put this girl back in a box, and I'm not sure where that would leave me. Her. Us. I sit at my desk and stare at the phone, waiting to see exactly what she has to say. She's been very coy all morning. Polite. Detailed. Hot as hell. But she hasn't crossed a line or asked me about yesterday. Until now.
Graham?
She asks again. I'm sorry. I'm here. What can I do for you?
Your mother is on line one.
Chuckling, I place my hand on the receiver. Not what I thought you were going to say.
Huh,
she says.
What did you think I was going to say?
The silence is filled with a heaviness that's undeniable.
I can tell her you're busy.
But I'm never too busy for my mother, I grin. Send her through. I wait, relieved to hear her voice.
Good afternoon, Graham.
She says sweetly in the phone. Hi, Mother.
I suppose you heard the news? Lincoln and Danielle are getting married at the farm.
I did. Barrett told me.
Oh,
she says, sounding surprised.
Link didn't say anything to you at all? That's odd.
He did, I grumble, turning away from my computer so I'm not tempted to check my email. Barrett just spoiled the news.
Are you helping get things together?
Sighing, I look out the window. I told him to send me contracts over before they sign them. I'll have our attorney look at them and make sure we pay for them through the company.
I hope your siblings tell you how much they appreciate you,
she says. I just hope they all sign prenuptial agreements, I laugh. Lincoln is all, I'm in love and I'm not signing shit right now, and it's ludicrous. I like Danielle just fine, but that doesn't mean Lincoln doesn't need to cover his ass.
Assets, Graham. Cover his assets.
She corrects me.
I agree, but it's Lincoln's money to gamble with. I hate to say that, but it's true. He's a grown man.
Sure he is. He'll have some grown man problems on his hands if this doesn't work out.
You know, some things aren't so black and white.
What's that supposed to mean? I ask.
It means that sometimes things get blurry. Lincoln loves Danny Graham. If he believed in that, maybe we should too.
I didn't say I didn't. I just said it was ignorant.
Oh, son.
She laughs.
I need to go. I have an appointment at the salon at 4. I just wanted to check in and see how you were. Think we could do lunch this weekend?
I glance at the pile of work in the corner of my desk. I'm still really behind, Mom. I'll probably be in the office all weekend.
What if I order you over here? Pull the mom card or tempt you with a homemade coconut cream pie?
I'll try. How's that?
Better than no.
She sighs.
I love you, Graham. Make sure you're taking time for you, okay?
Love you, Mom. I hang up the receiver and sit back in my chair. The hours upon hours of work I've been doing is starting to add up. I can feel it across the back of my shoulders, in my thighs when I stand. It's just an accumulation of stress and rigidity that's starting to wear me down a bit. Swiping my coffee cup off my desk, I head to the coffee maker for a fresh cup. As I pass the door to my office, I hear Mallory's voice on the other side. Pausing my hand on the knob, I listen to another man's voice. I'm not sure who it is, other than it's not one of my brothers. I pop open the door, my jaw pulsing, before I realize what I'm doing. Leaning on her desk is a man in a brown work uniform, a package sitting between them. Mallory has leaned away from him, rolled away from her desk a few feet. "Excuse me?" I ask, causing them both to jump.
"Oh, Graham."
Mallory gasps, her hand flying to her chest. She reads my pressed lips correctly and stands.
"Can I get you something?"
Instead of answering her, I flip my glare to the delivery man. "Are you done here?"
"Yeah, I'm sorry," he stammers. "I just had a package to drop off."
"That looks accomplished. You can go now." He bolts out the door like a flash of lightning. I give Mallory one quick look before retreating to my office. My jaw still clenched, I don't bother to sit down. I won't be able to sit still. I've run off delivery guys before, ones that try to get out of doing their job by chatting up my employees. But this time, it wasn't about time management. It was because I was jealous. I haven't felt that tinge of fury in a long fucking time, and I hate it just as much now as I did back then. I forgot what it felt like to have your blood boil in such an animalistic way, that caveman desire to mark your territory. Only thing is, she is not my territory. She's not my anything, and she can't be. It would be like this every fucking day, and everything would fall to pieces. This feeling is not what I want. It's not what she wants either. I feel her behind me. The air shifts, a lavender scent rippling around the room. My body is on alert as she comes closer. I don't have to turn around to know that.
"Graham, is everything okay?"
she asks. "Fine," I say, shoving my hands in my pockets. "Did you get your package?"
"No,"
she says.
"I got yours."
I fight the smile on my lips and continue to stare forward. I need to get a hold of this ridiculousness before it overtakes me.
"You know, I have to say,"
she says as she comes around into full view,
"I thought your package would be bigger."
"Is that so?" I ask, trying not to break. A ruby red dress skims the curves of her body, a shiny necklace tucked in her cleavage. None of that is as spectacular as her smile. This is the exact fucking reason I've avoided being around her today. My cock is hardening, my tongue nearly panting as I watch her body move in that damn dress. How did I ever think this could work? I'm a fool.
"Oh, it's a printer cartridge,"
she says.
"I'll put it in the media room."
We watch each other, the force between us stirring once again. I swear, you can almost see it.
"I just... you aren't upset with me, are you?"
"No." I force a swallow. "Of course not."
"Good."
She runs her hands down the front of her dress the same way I do my hair when I'm flustered. Her lip is in between her teeth, her eyes on the floor. I lift her chin with the tip of my finger. My chest tightens from the moment I touch her, and I know it's a mistake, but I do it anyway. "Mallory?"
"Yes."
"I'm not sure I could be upset with you for anything," I say, much more gravelly than I intend. Her head tilts to the side, her cheek pressing against the sleeve of my jacket. Our eyes connect, and it's like we're transported to another time and place, one where there are no rules, no fears, no histories or responsibilities.
"For the record,"
she says, looking at me with her big, whiskey-colored eyes,
"I could be upset with you."
I half laugh as my hand cups her jaw, my thumb stroking the soft skin of her cheek. My mouth drops open just a touch to let actual air in. "I'm sure you could."
"I might be upset with you right now,"
she whispers. "And why is that?"
"Because you didn't kiss me yesterday."
I hold her gaze for a long moment, in a way to apologize before dropping my hand away from her face. I think that would only complicate things, don't you? The words taste acrid as they fall out of my mouth, and the look she gives me feels even worse as it hits me in the chest. It's not resentful, not broken, for which I'm grateful. It's steely, a cage locking over her feelings.
You're right. I do,
she says, pasting on a smile and taking a step back.
Oh, I'm glad one of us has some sense.
She winks and trots out of my office. I follow her, shutting the door with a snap. It's the right thing.